Welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. Today, I'll have the pleasure of telling you all about our recently commissioned research on Grow Your Own. And I'm very pleased to be joined today by Dobbies Horticultural Director, Marcus Isles, and his colleague, Adam Veazey, Dobbies Food Development Chef, which I really can't wait to hear all about. So welcome, Marcus and Adam.
Hi, Daisy. It's great to be here.
Hi, Daisy.
And we're going to be talking all about Grow Your Own, which I feel is going to be huge this year. We're going to be sharing some really interesting insights on our growing habits, the nation's growing habits, and you will be amazed to hear about how many people are giving it a go and what produce comes out on top as the tastiest they've made. So we're going to be talking all about that today. Marcus, Adam, do you grow your own?
I do. Shall I go first? It's, I don't get a lot of time because I'm quite busy. The day job takes up a bit of time, but I like to grow nice, easy, tasty crops.
What about you, Adam?
Well, I would like to say within my role at Dobbies that I would come home to freshly grown produce all the time, but I'll be quite honest, and I do to a certain extent. So I've got a herb box on my windowsill. I like to grow my own thyme and basil for soups, thyme for my roast potatoes, which is what I do on a Sunday. But apart from that, I don't really grow my own at home as such. I am lucky enough in a way that my wife's family have got an allotment. So we do our own root vegetables, our carrots and our potatoes and our cabbages at the allotment. So we do use a lot. Do I do it daily? Probably not as much as I want.
Well, growing your own when you're busy is definitely something we can come on to because it is an art. And I've definitely had some experiences over the last few years that I can share. So let's dive in then. So the research from Dobbies and CensusWise has looked into what people have grown, what they've grown in the past, what they've found the tastiest, and the reasons they're planning to grow their own this spring. So 73% of Brits plan to grow their own fruit, vegetables, and herbs this spring. 49% of those surveyed said it was because they thought it would taste better. And almost half, that's 49%, also hoped it would be fun. I can absolutely categorically confirm that it is fun, in my opinion. 46% of people think that growing their own will give them a sense of accomplishment. 40% said it was to cut down on bills. And almost two-thirds said that they had experience of grow their own vegetables. And when they were asked about what they think is the tastiest, 15% said tomatoes and strawberries, I am not surprised, came out on top. So tomatoes are set to be the most popular crop this year, followed by strawberries, potatoes, carrots, and fresh mint. And we're going to cover loads of top tips for you in this podcast so you can get smart when it comes to growing your own. So Marcus, I'm going to start with you. You've talked about growing things though you're busy. Where would you say, what would your advice be to a beginner who's never grown anything before?
So I think the best thing to do is to grow in pots, troughs, or hanging baskets. So especially, you may not have thought that you could grow your own before if you don't have a lot of space, but actually most crops will grow really well in pots and troughs. So pick out things like leaf crops, lettuces, things like that. Spinach is really good. Things that you can keep on cutting so you don't just harvest them once. There's a salad mix called Cut and Come Again. So that is a really good seed which you can actually broadcast sow across the top of a pot. It looks really attractive and you can keep going back to it. So I would really say that that's the best way to start. It's really easy. You can slot those pots in around. You can make a nice arrangement. You can mix in flowers as well, which is great because it brings pollinators in to pollinate the fruit and vegetables. So that would be my advice for a good place to get going.
Yeah, potting is definitely the easiest from my experience. And I only started growing my own a few years ago. And you can grow your own on a patio in pots fairly simply, and growing even lettuce from seeds, pretty easy. You can't go too far wrong, can you?
No, it's really, really easy. The thing to remember, if you are going to be cutting normal lettuces, sort of like little gems and things like that, you need to sequentially sow them. So you need to sow a few every couple of weeks, and then you've got a continuity of supply. So you can keep cutting some and you've got others coming through.
And herbs are easy too in pots. They're actually suited to pots, many of them, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of gardens where the soil is actually really cold and damp and clay, and that doesn't suit herbs. A lot of herbs come from the Mediterranean region, so they need a lighter soil, so a John Innes type of soil, which is really good for them to get their roots down. It doesn't hold too much moisture. You don't have to give them too much water during the summer, so they're great if you need to go away on holiday, etc. They're still going to be fine. And of course, there are all those really useful things like basil and coriander and thyme and sage, etc., which is, you know, and rosemary, all those really useful culinary herbs.
And it's great also to show the kids where food comes from, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I was started out in gardening when I was very young, and those sort of things like rhubarb, watching that grow, and berries, of course, used to go out strawberry picking and everything, and you'd eat as many as you were actually picking to take back into the kitchen. So, but all of those types of things are really, really good to get kids knowing where all these things are coming from. And it's a really good experience. It's great because you can actually show that whole sequence of things coming into flower, like strawberries, and then seeing the fruit forming, how to look after them, how to water them, how to feed them. So really good exercise.
Definitely. So, Marcus, what tools do people need to get their hands on if they're going to grow their own this year?
So you don't need a lot. You need compost, of course. So if you're going to be growing in pots and containers, and especially if you're going to be growing from seed, so make sure you pick out the right compost. We do a full range, of course, from seeds to young plants and for potting on. So pick out the right compost. You need gardening gloves. It's best to put gardening gloves on when you're using compost or if you're gardening generally, just in case there's bits and pieces in the soil that you don't want to be touching. So put your gardening gloves on, hand trowels, and a compost scoop. I think a lot of people don't have a compost scoop, and it's really difficult trying to fill pots and trays if you haven't got a compost scoop, trying to open a bag up and trying to get your hands in, and it can all go all over the place. So a compost scoop is really useful. You need your seeds and your plants, so making sure you're getting your seeds and plants organized. Some things are easier to grow from plants, and some things it's just you don't really need the plants. It's best to grow them from seed. So check things like lettuces and things like that are really easy. Beans are really easy from seed, peas, things like that. But some of the more exotic things, if you want to have a go, sometimes it's better to actually get the plants and try something a bit more exotic. So you can add those in. Again, really good in pots and containers. Don't forget the watering can. You've got to make sure that you've got some means to water. A hose is useful as well if you've got a larger area, but sometimes that can cause too much because you can actually blast all the soil out of the beds, etc. So a watering can is much gentler, especially if you've got a fine rose. Also, the spray on the end of the watering can is really useful.
A gentler pour, if you will. Yes. I've definitely been there. I've definitely blasted things a bit too strong with my hose. So I can relate to that. And just to echo, that is a great tip, Marcus, about the scoop. So a scoop is different to a trowel. So the scoop, you can it's got high edges around it. So you can literally scoop up, almost like pick and mix, scoop up as much soil as you can, whereas a trowel doesn't hold that soil in there. So it ends up going all over the place. So I would definitely recommend a scoop and a trowel. I think it's really,
really
important.
Yeah.
So talking about tomatoes then, they've come out on top for the most popular crop to grow this year. I love growing tomatoes. I think it's probably the first thing I grew when it came to kind of grow my own. What are your top tips, Marcus, for the nation as we all grow tomatoes this year, as there, you know, maybe there'll be a shortage in the summer?
Yeah, who knows? It's important to choose the varieties that are right for your particular position in the garden. So as I said earlier, pots, troughs and baskets. So there are different sorts of tomatoes that are suitable for larger pots and smaller pots. So larger pots, you can get those full grown tall tomatoes that need to be caned, but they do produce nice big crops, and they can produce those great big juicy beefsteak type of tomatoes. Then there are bush type of varieties which don't need as much attention in terms of pinching out, etc. Those make the smaller sort of cherry type of tomatoes. And then you can also get one that's called Tumbling Tom, and that actually can go into a hanging basket, or it can go into a container as well, but looks fantastic in a hanging basket. And that's really useful because you can actually then stick it up in a balcony or somewhere where you've got a very small space. So selecting the right variety for the position where you're going to grow them.
And sunny spots are kind of just critical, aren't they, for your tomatoes? If you're thinking of growing them,
absolutely,
a sunny spot, you cannot underestimate the importance of that.
Yeah, they really don't like any shady spots at all. So making sure it's nice, open space in a tomato grow house is really good if you haven't got a greenhouse, because it will just shelter the plants, especially if we don't have a very good spring. It will just give them a really good head start. And then it's just making sure that you give consistent watering. So the biggest problem that people get is allowing the tomato plants to dry out as the fruit is starting to form. And then the fruits are, in effect, they're expanding when they've got water, and then they contract when they lose water. And that's what causes them to split, and then you'll get disease problems. So it's important to be consistent with water and also feeding as well, of course, because they are very hungry little plants and they need lots of food.
What would you recommend in terms of a feeding regime?
Once the first trusses of fruit have started to set, then start to feed from there. A tomato food, very common, there's lots of different types. It's got high potash. So high potash really does help the feeding of the more flowers and more fruit. And a tomato feed is really useful around the garden generally, because you can use it in a lot of flowering plants. So it's a really good thing to get. And then making sure that you're feeding every 10 days to 14 days.
Awesome. The other thing I would say is, when I've been mooching around Dobby's looking for certain varieties of tomatoes, because I do quite like buying them as little mini plants, you can always ask. So if you're not sure what the type of variety is, just ask, because then it means you're setting yourself up for success. Now, Adam, I'm going to come to you next. You are Dobby's food development chef, which sounds like an absolute wonderful job, working with food every day. What do you enjoy about cooking with fresh produce? And do you grow your own tomatoes?
We do grow our own tomatoes. Just to add to Marcus's top tips, as he was rightly pointing out, there's so many different varieties of tomatoes out there, whether you're growing them your own. But one thing I will say about all the variations is they are really versatile. So you can use them in anything that you want, really. You can use them in seasonal salads. You can use them in to make dressings. I think for me, though, when it comes to tomatoes, my personal favorite would to be cook it down, roast it down with some garlic and some oil, get them really softened and roasted in your oven, and then blitz them down, make your homemade passata, and then add them to my pizza bases, just so that you can really do that. Or your barbecues in the summers, you can use them as a delicious pizza base as well. But as it comes to being the food development within Dobby's, it's great. You literally just working with food. What isn't there to like about it? In and out of our 70 odd kitchens on a daily basis, developing menus, developing different food tastes and profiles to give our customers what they want.
And I'm just going to come back on the passata point here, Adam, if that's okay. If I have an outrageous amount of tomatoes this year then, and I make some passata, which you made sound very easy, so definitely want to give it a try. How do I store that if I have, you know, a lot?
Depending on what you mean by a lot, you can make it and you can store it. You can keep that in an airtight container and in your fridge at home for a good 2 to 3 days. That will last. But likewise, if you do have a substantial amount of tomatoes, if you're that lucky, you've got a substantial amount of tomatoes, you can freeze that down, and then you could freeze it into Tupperware boxes into your freezer, and you could keep that for a good couple of months, and then just bring that out and when you need it, when you've got all your friends and family around on your barbecue.
And I guess you can use that in like pasta sauces and stuff as well, which is one of my personal faves.
Yeah, like I said at the very start with the tomatoes, really versatile. You can use that in a pasta sauce. My top tip for a pasta sauce would not be to overblend it, is to keep it quite chunky. So you almost get a bit of a bite running through it as well, depending on what you're adding to that pasta.
It's making me a bit hungry. I don't know about you, Marcus. I'm thinking about my dinner already. So Adam, what's your favourite veg to grow? And why?
That, Easy. Absolutely easy for me. And I'm going back to my allotment that we use with my wife's family, and it sprouts. And my plain as day, it's usually everyone's not favourite vegetable on the Christmas dinner table. But for me, it's just looking at everyone's faces across the dinner table on Christmas Day. Everybody that's grown that sprout is on that dinner table. So we all know how from crop to plate. And it's so versatile as well. And it just gives that extra freshness and vibrancy that you know that you've actually grown it on your family allotment. And then you've served it up on Christmas Day for everyone to enjoy.
I agree. I've grown my own sprouts for a few years, and it's very satisfying when you plop them on the plate and you think, I know exactly where they've come from. How easy would you say it is to grow them?
They are relatively easy. It does help when you've got a mother-in-law that also knows probably about as much as Marcus and a lot more than what I know. So it does help when you've certainly got people within your family and people who you work with for top tips. So what I would say to that is to heavily rely on the experts and to, like you said previously, Marcus, is to ask questions.
Yeah, the great thing also, I've had an allotment before, is asking the people that have successful allotments around you. And also, if you don't have an allotment, as Marcus said, there's loads of things that you can grow in pots. So it's all about flexing your grow your own schedule around how much space you've got. And you'd be surprised how much you can actually grow. Why do you think grow your own is so beneficial? And I guess that's for both of you. And what benefits do you think there are genuinely to people's lives?
Do you want me to jump in first, Marcus, here? Because I think from a food point of view, from the end result, there's a couple of different points, and there's a couple of different points that I've already touched upon. But one, fresh produce. It's vibrant. It's full of colour. It's full of goodness. And the nutrients that you get from your fresh fruit and vegetable that's delivered onto your plate at the end. Like we've already said, the fact that you already know where it's come from. You've put the time in to that fruit and vegetable to be delivered onto your plate. And also reducing the carbon footprint, something that actually really looking forward to at Dobby's at the moment, because we're actually starting a project work at the moment to really reduce our carbon footprint, especially within the restaurants. So it's something to really look out for in the next 12 months.
Marcus, what about you?
Yeah, that, you know, taste is so important. And I think we've got very used to now the tasteless veg that we get sent from all over the world, air freighted, et cetera, et cetera. And when you actually, a lot of the times when you go on holiday, if you go to the Mediterranean and they're literally picking tomatoes from locally and bringing them in the same day that they've picked them and creating something, the taste is amazing. And that's what you can achieve at home. It takes a bit of effort, but it's certainly well worth it to get that taste into your cooking. Saving money, yes, you know, there are so many, some of the packets of seeds we sell, they got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seeds in.
It's mad.
You could grow masses, and therefore it's really good value for money. And it's fresh, so the nutrient content is, it's not just taste better, but also the vitamins and everything that's within the crops that you grow at home are much, much higher than if you buy them in a shop. And of course, it's good fun.
Exactly. That's what we want. I just kind of pick up on that point there about, you know, hundreds of seeds. My top tip would be to not go crazy in your first year of growing your own. So if you're listening to this podcast, you've never grown anything before, I would recommend you grow two or three things and leave it at that, because otherwise you can become overwhelmed with sowing, with looking after things. It can be a bit of a shock to the system, and your enthusiasm doesn't necessarily pay off into really healthy plants. So I would say pick a few things that you've...
And don't sow the whole packet.
Don't sow the whole packet. Keep it very minimal.
Feed the 5,000.
Exactly. So don't go crazy would be my advice, because you need to literally make your grow your own schedule fit in with your life. We said at the start, you know, if you're busy, you really need to think about what you are able to grow, what your lifestyle will allow, and what that looks like. And I would just echo the point about taste. I remember my first tomato off my first tomato plant, and I couldn't believe the taste. It was incredible. incredible. And that feeling as well, you know, with strawberries, the same, a real sort of flavour that I don't think I'd ever experienced. The other one I want to touch on is potatoes. Potatoes, when you've grown them yourself, my goodness, don't they taste
absolutely
good?
Yeah.
Any tips on growing potatoes? Because potatoes are a great one, Marcus, for pots, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's so easy. You just get any pot, reasonable size, about 40 centimetres across, something like that. Put a layer of compost in the bottom. Seed potatoes are still available now, so you can get those. Just put a few into the bottom of the pot, a little layer of compost over the top. As they start to grow, then you just keep piling compost on top just to get the shoots coming through. Then when they just come into flower, so many weeks depends on which variety that you get, then you can then start to dig them up. Even get pots that are open on the side, you can open them up and then pull the potatoes out, so you can still be letting the crop develop whilst you're actually picking potatoes. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the potatoes will be underneath, even some of these basics, the potatoes will be growing under the soil. So Adam, on the potato front, any top tips for cooking with potatoes when you've grown them yourself, you've got all that nice flavor?
Where do you begin with a potato? Where do you begin? There's so much versatility with potato. You mash potatoes, roast potatoes. Top tip is always, after peeling, is washing them first. Make sure that you get that starch off it. If you're using it for mashed potato, cut them into cubes rather than just cutting them in half. Wash all that individual starch off, all the individual cubes. It'll be much more fluffy.
Ooh,
which is what you want, right?
Definitely. Oh, I feel like I might be having potato for tea. What about strawberries then? Any tips on growing strawberries? They're quite easy, aren't they?
They're pretty easy, yeah. It's just, again, getting them into a nice sunny location in the garden. They'll grow in pots as well. You do get special strawberry pots that can be planted. They've got holes in the sides. So again, if you've got a small space, you can get maximum cropping because they can plant in the top and down the sides of the planter. Or you can make up a strawberry bed. You've got to be careful if you've got slugs in your garden, which most gardens do, then lift the fruits off of the soil so they don't get eaten. You don't want the slugs to have a good meal and then you don't get anything. So that's sometimes you see straw used, or you can get strawberry mats which you put underneath. It just keeps them clean and keeps the slugs at bay. But really easy, just keep them well watered. Of course, there's a lot of moisture content in there. So if we do have a hot summer, then making sure they've got plenty of water and feeding as well, as you do with your tomatoes. Easy as that.
Before we finish, Marcus, Adam, what are you most looking forward to growing this year?
My favourite is spaghetti squash. So it's a sort of marrow, and you do see them sometimes in supermarkets, but they're quite expensive, but they're so easy to grow. And you'll get lots of these lovely oval-shaped fruit, quite light green-coloured skin. You can just pick them, you can boil it whole, or you can roast them. When you open it up inside, take the seeds out, and then you just get a fork, and all of the inside flesh comes out like spaghetti.
Wow!
So it's a vegetable, so it's really healthy. Little bit of butter, not too much, and some black pepper, and it tastes amazing.
Gosh, that sounds very good, doesn't it? How exciting. What an exciting thing to look forward to. Adam, what about you?
I was going to say chilies, but I think I've just changed my mind from how Marcus described that. But no, for me, I've got a chili plant started. And for me, I'll make a chili jam that I can use on some nice brie and some nice crackers as well.
Yeah, I'm most looking forward to growing carrots this year. I've never mastered, really, the carrot. So I'm looking forward to giving that a really good, focused go this year. But what I would say, just to finish off this conversation about grow your own, is there is, I don't think, any greater feeling than cooking for your family or for friends and putting the plate down and feeling incredibly smug that you have grown what you are serving up. And I think probably 100% of people who grow their own like to announce that to everyone. Have you both done that before? These are my own. I've grown these. And take lots of photos of them because you've grown them yourself.
Well,
can you relate?
Most Sundays.
That's because we're proud.
Most Sundays.
Most Sundays. Good. Well, hopefully we've inspired you to get your gardening gloves on and get sowing this spring. It all starts in spring, which is very exciting. There's so many benefits to growing your own, not least the smug zone when you're serving up food. It really is time to get growing and get involved this year. That's all we've got time for today's episode. Thank you, Marcus and Adam. It's been lovely talking. My appetite has increased significantly. And be sure to visit Dobby's website and all our social channels, where there's loads of tips and advice, and hopefully Adam's chili jam recipe as well. Stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming very soon.